The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is sponsored by Dr. Gaffrey's Autumn Tonic, the classic bovine health remedy from Mitchell's. If it's not Mitchell's, get back in the truck. Based on a 19th century recipe by pioneering veterinarian and hairdresser Dr. Ellis Gaffrey, this time-honored tonic guards your herd against pigmouth fever, scrothles, haunch rot, Bosphorus anus syndrome, and blocked or swollen spuddocks. For 10% off your first bucket of Dr. Gaffrey's, use the code Dr. Please My Spuddocks.
Hello, and welcome to the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, the number one podcast for those involved, or just interested, in the production of beef animals and dairy herds. The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is the podcast companion to the Beef and Dairy Network website and a printed magazine, brought to you by Dr. Gaffrey's Autumn Tonic. Dr. Gaffrey's is not just a great health product for your cattle, but put it in a long glass with some crushed ice, pineapple juice, a red onion, diesel, and sweet, sweet vermouth, and you've got a cocktail that'll turn off your nervous system for a full 48 hours. Just power that baby down. See you on Monday. So, this month I spoke to friend of the show Reverend Hilary Block, a former Catholic priest who was excommunicated by the Vatican in 2018 when he declared what he believes to be true, that Jesus was a cow. Hilary contacted me last month asking whether he could come on the show to announce a new catchphrase that he is launching for his church, St. Catherine's in Bromley, and I was happy to oblige. Reverend Hilary Block, thank you so much for joining me.
Can I just stop you there?
Right.
I wanted to say something to you, and I think you're going to enjoy this.
Okay.
You know, there's a I don't know if you follow the pop charts, but I do, and I believe there should be a little less Chapel Roan and a little more Chapel Goan.
When you say Chapel Goan,
Chapel Goan. I think people should be going to chapel rather than going to a Chapel Roan concert.
Right. So this is the catchphrase.
Mm.
A few things to ask, really. Is this specifically about Chapel Roan for you, or is it more just like that lent itself to a nice phrase? So it could have been, you know, a bit less Charlotte Church and a bit more St. Catherine's Church. You know, you could...
No, because I love Charlotte Church. I think she's got the voice of an angel.
A bit less Shirley Temple. And a, you know, there's, or is it specifically about Chapel Roan?
What I think is there should be a little less Chapel Roan and a bit more Chapel Goan.
Right.
Chapel Goan. Wait, I'm not sure. I'm not happy with the Chapel Goan. Little less Chapel Roan, more Chapel Goan.
It might work in a different accent. I don't know how you are with accents, but I could imagine, just to help you out a bit, mm-hmm. imagine this in a kind of southern states of the US accent.
I think I might need a bit of a run up, but that's okay.
No, that's
okay.
Fine. Yep.
Let me see this now. I'm gonna go
deeper, I think.
Yeah.
Let me see this chin. Oh, let me see this chin now. Oh, let me say this to you now. I think there could be a little bit less Chapel Roan and a bit more Chapel Roan.
It went slightly Cajun at the end there, I think.
Yes, also a sort of Scarface thing going on there.
Absolutely, yes. Say hello to my little friend who just happens to be the Christ child.
Yeah, so we've got the catchphrase down.
Okay. I'm happy to talk more about it if you like.
Well, you know, I think many of our listeners will have heard of Chapel Roan. I don't know much about her. I know that she's doing very well and that she's a contemporary pop singer. But for those listeners who don't know who she is, maybe you could fill us in.
She is a young lady who has decided rather than praising the Lord is praising the sins of the flesh by wearing extremely provocative outfits and getting herself into all kinds of physical contortions on a stage in front of sweating young people. And if anyone's been to any of my shirtless Sundays, They'll know that you can have a fantastic bod and flex it in front of a congregation, but for a higher purpose.
I'll just butt in just to remind listeners, you maybe haven't heard previous episodes, you are incredibly buff. I'm seeing you over the video call now. You've maintained that bod.
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing that you bring it up, but I am absolutely ripped. Phenomenally hench. I'm tonk.
I can see the eight pack there through the cassock.
Well, let me just stand up a little bit and give you
Hello. Oh,
there we go.
There
we go. That's there. This is, by the way, this that I'm wearing right now.
The see-through cassock.
It's made of a fine mesh.
Lovely, lovely fine mesh.
You can buy this through my website.
Just to paint the picture for the listener, obviously this is an audio medium. As you said, it's a kind of sheer mesh cassock through which we can see all the muscles. And I want you to take this as a compliment. Your pecs, and don't take this the wrong way, it looks like you've had an ass transplanted onto your chest. A muscular ass.
Yeah, a few people have said that. But I haven't had that. The cost alone of the flights to Turkey and the surgeon who would do such a thing, I've not done any research, but I believe it to be impossible. So that can't be the case.
Okay, I wasn't necessarily suggesting that that's what happened.
I just want to say this now. It can't be I think there should be a little bit less Chapel Roan and a lot more Chapel Goan.
Okay, well, thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, a lot of people say you've clearly got a backstreet vet to transplant a gorilla's ass onto your chest. But, I mean, I want to say to people, listen to yourselves. Stop looking at my chest. Well, look at my chest as much as you like, but stop looking at my chest and then connecting that with the thought that you're having that you're saying to me, because that can't be that isn't the case. It can't be the case. Little Chapel Roan, more Chapel Goan.
And you've since I spoke to you last, you've won Britain's Buffest Priest. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Would a gorilla's ass have nipples? Just think about that. I mean, I've got, look, I can show them there. Have you ever been in Whipsnade Safari and seen a gorilla walking around who can suckle its young through its arse? No, you haven't, because a gorilla's arse doesn't have nipples on it. That's why I've got nipples. Anyway, no, I'm sorry. Let's move on. You had a question.
You want to move on, but I should just say, of course, the presence of nipples does not necessarily lead to the ability to suckle young. You know, God gave us males sort of gift nipples, really.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
I don't know if that's something you have to wrestle with on a kind of religious and scriptural level. Are those explained in the Bible anywhere, in the Genesis story or what?
The presence of the male nipple.
Because obviously, you know, we look to religion to answer those big questions, don't we?
Let's face it. If women get something, men want a little bit of the action.
Right.
Right? And I think it's just to create a bit of equality.
If we didn't have our own, we'd be jealous.
I feel like there would be an element of jealousy. They say if God did not exist, it would be necessary to create him. I think the same is true of male nipples. Because if we had perfectly smooth chests and then we were looking out at our sort of female friends and saying, well, they have got that going on, we would then have to make them out of, I don't know, jelly tots or something and stick them on. And
that's not what you've done here with your, just to be clear, with your nipples here. You haven't stuck jelly tots on a gorilla's ass, for example, and then...
No, I think sometimes with the way that the light comes through the mesh, and, you know, it can look like a little bit like these are just two jelly tots that have been blue tacked to a gorilla's ass. But nothing, and I can't stress this enough, nothing could be further from the reality.
Okay. Well, let's talk a bit more about this catchphrase. I think it's very good. You've got this new catchphrase.
Yes, which I'd love for you to say if you could.
Okay, yeah, just to reinforce the message.
Yes, if that would be possible, yeah.
Should I do it in a Southern States of the US accent, or?
Well, let's hear it in your own, And then, okay. Yeah, let's hear it in your own, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. So, well, if you ask me, we need a bit less Chapel Roan and a bit more Chapel Goan.
It actually works better in your voice.
Yeah, you think that's good?
And I wonder if when this eventually goes out, I could take that, that's sample, and in some way, implant it into like a little box, like a press, maybe in my throat or somewhere else on
like
my body,
sort of Stephen Hawking style,
very
situation.
Much. But I think more internal rather than it being part of, you know. So possibly just a little thing I could push on my Adam's apple, and your voice would come out of my mouth.
I mean, that would be a huge honour.
Well, it would be an honour for me as well. Obviously, I'm not sure how we go about the procedure, but I know a vet who might be able to help. Not someone I've ever spoken to before, but I read about him on the internet. It was a pop up ad next to the video for Hot to Go.
Well, okay. I mean, you know, I'm flattered that you want to kind of steal my voice and put it in your throat. I'm sorry, I'm not totally clear why.
I should just address this scurrilous rumour, but a lot of people must be thinking that, well, if he has got a gorilla's ass attached to his chest, which I don't, then the weight of that would be pressing down on his vocal cords, which would eventually render him completely mute within the next 3-4 months. I don't have a gorilla's ass on my chest. B, these aren't jelly tots, and C, that wouldn't be the case even if it were the case, which it isn't, so it's not. And D, a little less Chapel Roan, a bit more Chapel Goan.
It's a great catchphrase.
Thank you.
Aside from the exciting new catchphrase, there should be a little bit less Chapel Roan and a bit more Chapel Goan, there has also been another exciting development at St Catherine's, as Hilary has taken on an assistant.
Hello, this is Simon Featherby, Father Simon Featherby, formerly of St Bartholomew's Neo-Presbyterian Church in Clackett in Somerset, now very happily residing at St Catherine's Church in Bromley under the protective wing of dear Hilary Block, and very happy to be here in spite of any rumours. yes.
We previously spoke to Father Simon on this show, most recently in our episode about beef fishing, where he revealed that he was seduced by someone posing as a single woman on the internet, but who was in fact a butcher looking to sell meat. After this, he was fired from his role as parish priest at the Neo-Presbyterian Church in Clackett in Somerset, and since then he has got by doing the only job he could find, giving out leaflets for a motorway service station at the side of the motorway.
Hilary and I actually met in my old line of work, where I was leafleting cars on the side of a motorway, trying to force a clump of advertising material through a window as it hurtled past at anywhere between 70 and 120 miles an hour.
As luck should have it, Hilary was passing in his car, and whilst trying to get a curly-whirly out of his glove box, swerved into the hard shoulder and hit Simon.
He knocked me clean down the motorway, about half a mile, actually. I bounced as his bumper kept smashing into my head, until finally I fortunately went straight through his windscreen on a particularly big bounce and landed safely on his back seat.
So when you met Hilary in that way, he actually offered you a job?
Yes. In fact, he assures me that we'd been close friends for many decades, but such was the force of the impact, I'd forgotten all about him. But he made very clear that, really, I owed him numerous debts, and I was only too happy to repay them all. So I really do fulfil all manner of functions at the church, and, of course, at the vicarage for him. I clean windows, I arrange flowers, scrub the floors, and of course, curdle the communion milk.
Now, Simon, obviously you are a former Neo-Presbyterian priest, and what with Hilary's somewhat unusual religious views about Jesus being a cow, does that not cause problems?
There is a bit of a denominational barrier, of course.
Yeah, but, you know, that must be an issue, right? Because, I mean, do you believe, as Hillary does, that Jesus was a cow?
I would have to say, yes. And it doesn't go against my deep-seated beliefs at all to say that Jesus was a...
Hillary, is there any religious conflict between the way that you and Simon see Christianity?
I'm glad you asked this question, and it's something that I think Simon himself has had to do a lot of soul searching about. When I picked him up off the side of the road, he was living, he told me, under a tarpaulin. And I said to him, you can come and live in, at St. Catherine's, in the sacristy, but you have to accept our teachings. And he said, is there hot and cold running water? Is there cooked meals? I'll literally believe any old bollocks. And I said, you're just the man I'm looking for. So every month on the 28th, rent day, I sit him down and I say, I've got two questions for you, Simon. One, do you believe that Jesus is a cow? And he says, yes. And I say, do you believe that these are my actual pecs? And he says, yes. And I say, as far as I'm concerned, rent paid. And he can stay for another month.
I understand, Simon, why you might put a brave face on things and say, okay, I believe Jesus is a cow, and, because of your personal circumstances. But, are you actually happy working under Hillary at St. Catherine's?
All right. No, I'm not. Between you and me, he's a monster.
Monster is a very strong word, Simon.
The man is consumed by vanity. He is obsessed with his own physique. He has changed every stained glass window to be an incredibly muscular depiction of himself. And I have to say, it's pretty accurate. Throughout every service, he strips off, rips his shirt clean away, and orders the congregation, many of whom, I would remind you, are elderly women, to spray baby oil on his naked skin.
Okay, so at what stage, Father Simon, did you realise or feel that, oh no, this is not what I want to be doing?
My first day in St. Catherine's was when the alarm bells first started ringing, when he presented me with his new translation of the Bible.
Right, so that's his own translation?
Yes, yes, he's absolutely convinced there are various errors in translation over the centuries and millennia where people have just got it plain wrong.
And I assume the main thing he's doing there is making it clear in Scripture that Jesus was a cow.
Yes, yes. Most things that Jesus says, including the Sermon on the Mount, are largely replaced by a series of moos.
Wouldn't that pose something of a religious problem, given that a lot of the kind of religious ideas and the preachings of the church come from the words of Jesus? Now, if you replace all of those words with a series of moos, as you say he has, you're not left with very much, are you?
No, you're left with very little. Because Jesus is now reduced to a largely mooing figure, we have to rely heavily on the Old Testament.
Right, which he hasn't changed?
No, he's changed the Old Testament hugely as well. Not least the Ten Commandments.
Oh, he's changed the Ten Commandments? That's bold.
Yes, it's to justify his obsession with getting oiled in every single service. And the Ten Commandments have been edited to reflect this. Oil thy mother and thy father. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it oily. And of course he's added the 11th commandment. We need a bit less chapel run and a bit more chapel goan.
Matthew 14, verses 25 to 29. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Moo, moo, 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 moo.
Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Moo, he said.
As we talked, Simon began to open up about Hilary's behaviour, and soon it wasn't just his religious services that Simon wanted to complain about.
And really, I feel I must tell you the truth about his pecs.
Right, so, yes, Reverend Hilary's pectorals are very, you know, they're significant. They're strong, they're beefy.
And they're fake. The man did not build those up himself. He had them surgically implanted. They are not pecs. When you see his mighty pecs, what you are looking at is a pair of gorilla buttocks.
Now, I have spoken to Hilary about his wonderful chest, and his point, which he would respond to that accusation with, I think, is that a gorilla's ass doesn't have nipples.
It is quite plain for everyone to see that those two nipples are jelly tots. Why else would one be blue and one be red? And why would they be so delicious? He will never admit to anyone, least of all himself, the truth, but I saw everything that happened. He booked flights to Turkey, he flew out there, he had them surgically implanted, and he came back passing them off as his own.
So hang on, you say you saw everything happen. Were you in Turkey with him?
I heard him booking the flights.
Yeah, but someone going to Turkey that's not proof that they've got a gorilla ass.
Sorry, I didn't finish my sentence. I heard him book the flights, and then I saw him as he loaded me into his suitcase to serve as his personal assistant, took me to the airport, loaded me into the plane, unloaded me, unpacked me in his hotel room, and took me to sit down in an operating theatre as I watched him have two gorilla buttocks implanted onto his chest by a vet.
Okay, so you were present at the operation. How can you be certain, though, that what was implanted onto his chest are, in your words, gorilla buttocks?
Because I also saw them remove the buttocks from the gorilla in the same room and replace them with his sagging pecs. And that gorilla, let me tell you, was very upset.
What does a gorilla look like once you've replaced its huge muscular buttocks with a sagging pair of man boobs?
I suppose the most concise way I can describe it is sad. It turns out that when you take away a gorilla's buttocks, you take away its mojo, its reason for living, its sense of self.
Do you know where that gorilla is now?
I believe it was released from the veterinary practice and it simply sat on the pavement, languishing, and immediately turned to the bottle.
Gosh.
And of course, he refuses to admit that a side effect of that procedure is that the gorilla buttocks are pressing down on his chest, on his lungs, on his vocal cords. The vet told him quite clearly that eventually, within 2 months, he could be mute. He said, I don't care, I'll lip sync. Ironically, something Chapel Roan would never do.
Matthew 14, verses 14 to 18. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "Moo, moo, 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 moo. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Moo, 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 he said.
Getting back to the catchphrase, and putting aside the rights and all wrongs of inserting it into the Bible, you've got to agree, it's a pretty good catchphrase.
Well, it rhymes, but I ask you, how many churchgoers are even going to know who Chapel Roan is?
But isn't that exactly the point, that he's trying to bring in the kind of people that would maybe go to a Chapel Roan concert instead of one of his services, and he's trying to get those people in?
Well, if he is trying to do that, he hasn't gone very well about it.
The first thing I did was I made a massive, massive sign that said, "Here, tonight, Chapel Roan." I mean, the full sign said, here tonight, I wanted to stress that you've got to come into this place, Chapel Rome, because I wanted people to know that that's what was happening. But it was here tonight, a little less Chapel Rome, big letters, a little more Chapel Goan, and then arrows down to the door. Now, a lot of people said, well, you made it seem like Chapel Rome was performing in your church that night. And I leaked a few of the photos of the frontispiece out to Stereo Gum and Vulture and Enemy.com.
He spread a rumor that Chapel Roan was going to be performing at the church, which I would argue in the first place completely goes against the catchphrase itself. But sure enough, it worked. The word got round.
And actually, when I came out shirtless, gyrating my body, everyone assumed that was just the warm-up act.
Can you describe exactly what you were doing?
So picture the scene. The lights dim. The service begins. The performance begins. The room is filled with dry ice. And I appear. Lit by a single spotlight, the first thing you see, of course, the pecs emerging from the dry ice.
Gorillas in the Mist.
No.
Matthew 5, verse 1. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Moo, moo, 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 moo."
And, it got to sort of, I'd say about 89, 90 minutes into to the service, and people started to say, "Excuse me, when's Chapel Roan going to be showing up and performing Phenomenon?" And I said, "Well, I don't know if you've actually read the sign. It says here tonight, a little less Chapel Roan, a little more Chapel Goan. So congratulations, you're all here, and I'll see you next Sunday."
And how big a crowd are we talking about here? Thousands?
Oh, they were absolutely. They were every possible nook and cranny. They were, apart from obviously the nooks and crannies on my eight pack, they were crammed into them. And if they could have been, they would have been on my eight pack.
Okay, so yeah. We've got thousands of young Chapel Roan fans believing they're about to see what is probably at this stage quite an intimate concert with their favourite star, someone who probably plays much larger venues these days.
I realised this. I mean, how was I to know when I made that sign? That it would be, the problem is people don't read, do they? If people spend a bit more time reading the Bible, which I don't know if you picked up a Bible recently, but the print is tiny, they would understand that reading the small print is essential. And they didn't do that. You know, by that point, the collection plate had already gone round, and we made a little bit of money out of the night. I charged £700 to get in, which I thought is,
That seems high.
Sorry, I'm sorry, £700 for eternal life. Yes, please, I'll take that. I'll absolutely take that. £700 to see my pectoral muscles. You know, that's very much the jelly tot on the arse.
The thing that he won't tell you is he is totally out of money. That procedure, that vet bled him dry. And he is hell-bent on having a new procedure. That's why he is luring Chapel Roan fans with their ample purses to the church. Every single ticket to that gig costs £700.
So hang on, he wants to actually get another operation?
Yes, the problem is the gorilla buttocks have made the top half of his body completely disproportionate in spite of all of the other muscles, and now he won't be satisfied until he's replaced both of his buttocks with two baby hippos. So I am telling you and your listeners that everybody needs to protect Mu Deng at all costs. She is in danger. He has been looking at your memes and he is licking his lips.
I'm not proud of what I did next. I worried that this might happen. And so I had a red wig I popped it on Simon Featherby and I said, look, I'm going to crank up the dry ice. You know the album. You know the hits. I'll play Good Luck Babe out of Spotify and you just get out there and just vamp. Vamp like your life depends on it. Because looking at this crowd, it really does.
He forced me to put this red wig on and go out and perform as Chapel Row and herself. Now I can belt out Good Luck Babe with the best of them. And I did a passable job, and whilst I did that, he made out of one of the stained glass windows. But the crowd didn't notice because, well, you don't often see Chapel Row in that intimate a venue. A lot of the congregation believed that, well, perhaps this is just what she looks like up close. And I was doing a pretty passable performance. And, you know, for a few minutes, I actually started to believe maybe I've got what it takes. Maybe, perhaps with all the concussion I've forgotten, I really am Chapel Row, and I don't know the ins and outs of it. But I really believed, I felt finally I'd been accepted, perhaps I'd made it. And so then I went straight into Pink Pony Club, but then I started doing a lot of the dance moves to try and go with the song, and did a high jump kick, the red wig came off, they realised exactly what was going on, the jig was up and they were baying for blood, and the blood was mine. I can hardly describe the level of violence that crowd directed towards me. I think any other man would have died in about a second. And the only thing that steeled me for it, that gave me the resilience to make it out the other side, was having spent several years being hit by cars at the side of a motorway. I'd had the metal in me all those years. Literally, in many cases. I've actually still got the front headlights of a Ford Fiesta still lodged in my spine.
Matthew 27, verses 45 and 46. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was a darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Moo, 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 moo. Moo, 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 moo. Moo, 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 moo. Moo, 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 moo. Moo.
Well, Reverend Hillary, thanks so much for coming on. It's great to hear about your new catchphrase. And I mean, I guess as I've been talking to you, I've just been thinking, you know, I can't think of another world religion that has hit catchphrases quite as hard as you have.
No. And they don't think about it. And we live in a soundbite age. You know, take back control, make America great again. A little less Chapel Row and a little bit more Chapel Go. And this is I see myself as a phenomenally modern priest.
Well, Reverend Hillary, I wish you all the best. And do you have a, just teeing you up here, do you have a final message for our listeners?
I absolutely do, of course. And thank you so much. And what I'll do is I'll move my mouth and you say the words, okay? My final message.
And are you sure you don't want me to do Southern States? We could try it.
Let's try Southern States. Yes, yes. Thank you so much for this interview. I've enjoyed every moment. And I would like to say to all of you listening out there in podcast land.
Why? We need a bit less Chapel Roan and a bit more Chapel Goan.
Thank you.
So, Father Simon Featherby, thank you so much for being so candid and you know, telling us about what's going on down there. I'm a little worried because I think, you know, you've been so open, and obviously this episode will probably be heard by Hillary and the rest of the congregation down there at St. Catherine's. Does it not rather throw up some problems for you?
Not at all. To tell you the truth, I'm relieved. I'm relieved to have this out in the open. I'm ready to burn my bridges. I'm finished here, because if there's one thing that this experience has taught me, it's that I'm actually a pretty passable Chapel Row impersonator. So, all of you young folk on the streets of Bromley, you better get ready for Father Simon Featherby, because I'm I'll have to look through the lyrics again, but what I'm saying is I'm hot to go. And you can get me hot to go. As of today, thank you, please.
A big thanks to Father Simon Featherby and to Reverend Hilary Block for those interviews. Much has changed, actually, in the last few days since we recorded those interviews. Simon Featherby has left St Catherine's and has begun advertising himself as a Chapel Roan tribute act, going by the name Chapel Roan, but with chapel spelt C-H-A-P-E-L rather than C-H-A-P-P-E-L-L. As for Reverend Hillary, only yesterday the Worldwide Fund for Nature launched a multinational campaign aiming to put pressure on Hillary to return those gorilla buttocks from his chest to Turkey so that they can be reattached to the washed-up street gorilla. More on that when we get it. So, that's all we've got time for this month, but if you're after more beef and dairy news, get over to our website now where you'll find all the usual stuff, as well as our off-topic section, where this month Irish singer Enya talks us through her collection of leather bins. So, until next time, beef out. Thanks to Matthew Crosby, Tom Burgess, Gemma Arrowsmith, and Linnea Sage.
Somewhere in an alternate universe where Hollywood is smarter.
And the Emmy nominees for Outstanding Comedy Series are Jetpacula, Airport Marriott, Threpple, Dear America, We've Seen You Naked, and Allah in the Family.
In our stupid universe, you can't see any of these shows, but you can listen to them on Dead Pilot Society, the podcast that brings you hilarious comedy pilots that the networks and streamers bought but never made. Journey to the alternate television universe of Dead Pilot Society on MaximumFun.org.
Oh, darling, why won't you accept my love?
My dear, even though you are a duke, I could never love you. You borrowed a book from me and never returned it.
Save yourself from this terrible fate by listening to Reading Glasses.
We'll help you get those borrowed books back and solve all your other reader problems.
Reading Glasses, every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artists-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.